Faith isn't some kind of inherent capacity to trust. Faith is recognizing that Jesus Christ is trustworthy. That's what it is. Not about you, it's about Him. It's about recognizing that He has the ability to do what He says because He is the Son of God.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, that is such a helpful phrase. Faith is not your ability to trust.
Yeah, you know, and I think about a guy who quite often has come up to me after a service and said, "What about a person who can't trust?" And of course, his story has been that his trust has been let down. People have disappointed him. "I can't trust, so how can I have faith?" Well, you see his problem. Here's what I've tried to help him. You're looking at yourself. You're thinking that faith is some kind of capacity that you don't have. Well, you're never going to make progress on that basis. You can't come to faith by looking at yourself and your own lack of capacity. Faith is born by looking at Jesus Christ and His trustworthiness. Here's someone who's different from everyone who's let you down. That's where faith and hope and light begins to come. So he's actually received some help and made some great progress. And I hope that there'll be others listening to the program today who'll make that progress too.
Well, let's get into today's message from Mark chapter 1. It's entitled, "Jesus is Willing." Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, folks, here's the marvelous assurance. You can build your life on the rock-solid promises of God. Now, here's the burden that's on my heart today. For some of us, the question right now is, okay, I see that, amazing promises in Christ, got to be properly related to Christ, but how can these things become mine? How can I be sure that these things are mine? Somehow it still seems to me that these things are outside of me. How can I know that they are true of me? How can I receive what Jesus promises? Now, that's why we've come to Mark's Gospel and chapter 1 today in this very simple little story, and it couldn't be more simple, about a man with a dreadful disease of leprosy. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus says to him, "I am willing. Be clean." And the reason this story is so helpful for us as we're trying to wrap up this series is that this man receives what Jesus Christ offers. He is marvelously and wonderfully healed. And I want to suggest to you that how he received what Christ gave to him is a pattern. It is a model for how you can receive what Jesus Christ says he is willing to do for you in your life today. And there are just three things here, and they are very simple, but I want you to see them so that today, if you have not walked this way already, you can do them. Number one, this man had faith. That is, he believed in Jesus Christ. He comes to Jesus and he says this, "You can make me clean." In other words, this man has confidence in the ability of Christ. That's what faith is. You can make me clean. All that Christ is and all that Christ promises becomes yours by faith. You don't earn it by making changes in your life. You receive it by putting your trust in the ability of Jesus Christ to deliver on what he has promised, as we've read it over these weeks in the Bible. Faith, think of it this way. Faith is like a hand open to receive. See, a lot of people spend their lives with a clenched fist towards God. Faith is a hand open to receive, and it's an empty hand. There's an old hymn that says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, Simply to your cross I cling. That's faith, you see. Faith is recognizing that I am not going to receive what Jesus Christ promises by doing some kind of deal or a trade in which I offer something into the pot and he gives me something in return. No, faith is an open hand that's empty so that Jesus Christ can give you what you do not have. That's what it is. And the hand is open because you have become persuaded in the ability of Jesus Christ to do what he says he is able and willing to do. So faith, in other words, rests on the ability of Christ. You can make me clean. Faith isn't some kind of inherent capacity to trust. If it was, some of us are more trusting than others. And frankly, that may be a lot to do with your background. But actually, faith is nothing to do with your inherent capacity to trust or your problems with distrust. Faith is recognizing that Jesus Christ is trustworthy. That's what it is. Not about you, it's about him. It's about recognizing that he has the ability to do what he says because he is the Son of God. That's why whatever your background and whatever the letdowns in your past experience cannot keep you from faith in New Testament terms, because faith doesn't rest on a capacity in you, but it rests on an ability in Christ. And faith involves trusting Christ for yourself. Now, this is really big. Notice the guy says here, you can make me clean. In other words, what he has here is more than a general belief that Christ can help people with their problems. More even than a general sort of belief that Jesus Christ is able to help other people with the same problem as me. No, this man says, Jesus, I believe that you are able to do this for me. Now, some of us may have a friend, a family member, someone at work, a real Christian, and perhaps they're a person who's brought you, it's through your connection with them that you're here, and you have seen a real change in their life. And because you have seen a real change in your life, you have come to the conclusion that Jesus is able to change a person's life. And obviously, because you've seen him change your friend's life or someone else in your family's life. But faith takes another step. Faith goes beyond saying, I believe that Jesus Christ can change a person's life, to saying, I believe that Jesus Christ can change my life. You can make me clean. Maybe you have seen someone who was struggling with an oppressive temptation. A habit that had bound them for years. And they gained victory over this. And you say, well, praise God, this is marvelous. He's a changed guy these days, you know. And you believe and you acknowledge and rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ is able to do this for other people. Listen, faith says he's able to do that for me, in my battle, in my struggle. You've seen someone who's gone through extraordinary pressure and has stood up with strength and with dignity in it. And you've admired them. Faith says what Jesus Christ has done for her, he can do for me. You can make me clean. So here is faith. Faith trusts in the ability of Jesus Christ, not just in a general kind of way, but in relation to me and the reality of my situation. And this man comes with that kind of faith to Jesus. Here's the second thing. He comes with a real desire to be clean. He wants to be clean. Now, I don't want you to miss this. You can make me clean. Now, the word clean is of huge significance here. Don't miss it. This is obviously a story about a physical healing of a man who was a leper and the disease was cleansed from him. But I want you to notice this, that when the man comes to Jesus, he does not say, you are able to heal me. He says, you are able to make me clean. Why does he say, you are able to make me clean? Because that was the bigger thing, you see. A person who suffered from leprosy in New Testament times and in Old Testament times was cut off from the people of God, cut off from the presence of God. So the wretchedness of this man's life is not only that he has this wasting disease in his body, but he is actually alienated from the place of the presence of God and excluded from the fellowship and the blessing and the company of the people of God. Leprosy in the Bible, in other words, is not only a terrible disease, as it was for this man, but it is a picture to us of our sinful condition. See, what does sin do? Sin does to the soul what leprosy does to the body. What does leprosy do to the body? It wastes the body. It reduces the body. It saps feeling from the body. That's what sin does to the soul. It deadens you on the inside. Sin wastes the soul like leprosy wastes the body. And when this man says, Jesus, you can make me clean, he's saying, look, you can deliver me from this alienation from God in which I've never been able to come near and worship. You can give me a place among God's people from whom I have been alienated and excluded. You can save me from this body of death. You can give strength to these limbs. You can give life to this man. You can make me a new creation. That's what he's saying, nothing less. And that is a marvelous picture of what God promises in the gospel. So if we are to receive from Jesus Christ, we must not only come to him with faith, and not just a general faith that he's able to do great things, but that he can do great things for me, but also with a desire to be clean. That's what we're learning from this story. Now, Spurgeon puts this so well. Let me read you just a few sentences. He says, there are some folks who want to be saved from hell, but not from the sin that is the cause of it. Now, that's perceptive, isn't it? Got to want to be clean. Not just delivered from condemnation, but from the sin that is the cause of it. Otherwise, how can you truly come to Christ and ask? Spurgeon says, Christ's salvation is cleansing from sin, and if we love sin, we are not saved from it. We cannot have justification without sanctification. There's no use quibbling about it. He says there must be a change, a radical change, a change of heart, or else we are not saved. And then preaching, he says to the folks he was speaking to, I put it to you now. Do you desire a moral and spiritual change, a change of life and thought and motive? For that is what Jesus gives. Good question. Is that what you want? See, one reason why many people in church feel that the promises of Christ are always outside of them is that your faith never gets beyond this vagueness. It never becomes believing that Christ can change you. And another reason is that many in church world never come to the place of repentance. I want to get out of hell, but I'm not sure I yet want to be clean.
A sobering place to have to hit the pause button. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and we'll get back to our message, Jesus is Willing, in just a moment. Well, Open the Bible is listener-supported. We depend on your financial generosity to keep the program on the station, make the app and the online presence available, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we'd love to send you two copies of Pastor Colin's new book called Christmas Stories. It tells the story of Jesus' birth in the first person from the perspective of different Bible characters. And Colin, it sounds like a unique book. Where'd the idea come from?
Well, as a pastor, you're always trying to tell the great story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in a fresh way. And over several years, I just hit on the idea of telling the story in a first-person form through the eyes of various people who were involved in the event. And so Our friends at 10 of Those Publishing have gathered some of these together, and we now have Christmas Stories. That is the Christmas story told through the eyes of Mary, through the eyes of Joseph, through the eyes of Simeon, the prophet who blessed the Lord Jesus in the temple, even through the eyes of Herod and through the eyes of the angel Gabriel. And it just brings something fresh to the telling of the Christmas story. And it's designed to be read aloud. It's for all the family. It's for you and people you love. Read it aloud at Christmas. It will help to bring the Christmas story and all of its wonder and all of its glory in a fresh way into your life.
Well, we want to send you not one but two copies of Pastor Collins' new book entitled Christmas Stories. It's our way of saying thank you for giving a financial gift this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, if we are to receive from Christ, we come with faith to Him. Faith that trusts His ability not only to do great things for other people, but to do life-changing things for me. And I must come to Him with this desire, not only that I will be saved from the consequences of my sin, but that I will be saved from my sin itself. In other words, I come to Him because by the Spirit of God, He has awakened within me a desire to be clean. And if you feel that desire within you right now, thank God for it. The Spirit of God is drawing you to Christ right now so that what He promises will be yours. And here's the third thing. I'm struck by this man's humility. He comes and he asks. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged Him on his knees. Can you picture this? This man. It must have been terribly painful for him to walk because I guess the fingers and the toes go first. He comes to Jesus and he gets down on his knees. He comes and he asks. He begs. Jesus, You can change my life. I long to be clean with all that that means. Will You do it? I know You can. Will You do this for me? Do you notice there's only one question in this man's mind when he comes to Jesus? He says, if You are willing, You can make me clean. In other words, he knows Christ has the ability. But does he have the will? Well, that's what our whole series has been answering, isn't it? I will. I will. And that's exactly what Christ says to this man. I am willing. Great humility here. I love the fact that this man does not try to negotiate. No trying to do a deal. No sense of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, now if You do this for me, I'll do that for you. What can you give the Son of God that He needs to receive from you? Now, this man comes to Jesus and begs Him on his knee. You know, some folks are so absorbed with themselves that the question they're actually asking is, why should I be interested in Jesus? When you see the glory of the Son of God, the only question that will occur to you is, why would Jesus be interested in me? This man says, Jesus, if You take an interest in me, You can change my life. He recognizes that becoming a Christian isn't about you doing something great for Christ, but it's about Christ doing something great for you. So this is how we must come to Him. You come to Christ empty-handed. You come and ask Him to give to you what you do not have, and then you will be in a position to receive. Get to the point with Jesus Christ today. Let me encourage you with this. Many people do not receive from Christ because they never get to the point of making the ask. What have you asked Him to do for you? come, ask, receive. Cut through the fog of a vague faith that may have been around you like mist for years, but it has made little difference to your life. Get Christ to the point of your need. That's what asking is. Many of you guys do this in business all the time. You make the ask. Why can't you do that with Jesus Christ? Come to him. You ready to come to Christ like that today? Lord, I believe that you have the ability to change this life, my life. I want to be clean. I want to live a new life that is pleasing to you. So I'm asking you to give me what I do not have. The forgiveness I need. The strength I don't have. The purpose I have not found. And the heaven I do not deserve. And when you come to Christ believing in his ability to change your life, desiring to be clean, and you ask him, you know what you're going to find? See it right here? He has compassion on you. That's what you'll find. As you come to him right now, as you put your trust in him, as you want to be clean right now, he has compassion on you. Listen. Christ had this moment in mind when he suffered and died on the cross for you. And as you come to him, his heart streams love to you. Not only does Christ have compassion, he reaches out to you. Love this. Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. Amazing. You say, well, how does that apply to me? Listen. As the promises of the gospel are preached to you, Jesus Christ is reaching out to you. Listen, these aren't just words. It's an ordinary person who speaks. But what is spoken is the word of God to you. Come to me, he says, and I'll give you rest. Come to me. I'll never turn you away. Follow me. I'll make something of your life. Ask of me. I will give you the Holy Spirit. He's reaching out to you right now in this moment. And as this loving Christ reaches out to you, he speaks the word. Jesus said, I am willing. Be clean. And Mark says immediately, the leprosy was gone. Because when the Son of God speaks, what he says always happens. You learn that at the very beginning of the Bible. The Son of God says, let there be light, and there's light. When he speaks, he accomplishes what he says. So when Christ says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. When Christ says you're his, you're his. When Christ says you're bound for heaven, you're bound for heaven. When Christ says the Holy Spirit lives in you, the Holy Spirit lives in you, because what he says is always accomplished. When he says, you're mine, you're his. When on that last day of your life he says, come home, you're home.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and what an invitation and promise that Pastor Colin has just been helping us think about. When Christ says we can come to him, we will be his, and we can be his forever. You know, maybe as you're listening to this broadcast, you're realizing that you've never come to Christ, but you'd like to do so today. You'd like to make his promise that he's offered to you yours. Then I want to invite you to contact us here at Open the Bible. Talk to one of our staff members. Our number is 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Well, Colin, it's Friday and the weekend's coming.
And I want to encourage you to get to church on Sunday. If you live in the Chicago area and you don't have a church home, I'd love for you to join us at The Orchard. There are 6 locations in the northwest suburbs. For more information, go to theorchard.church. That's theorchard.church.
Well, thank you, Colin, and thanks for listening. I'm Steve Hiller, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.